Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today we've got the writer, director, and lead actor of the short film The Lost Weekend with us. The writer, director is Ryan O'Leary. The lead actor is Sam Bartolomeos. I came close. And nice. If you want to watch The Lost Weekend, which is a fantastic, fantastic film, actually, everything about this film is great. It's romantic comedy, but it's also deep, hits you, entertains you, makes you laugh. Go to Discover Indie Film on Amazon Prime Video. So you just go anywhere you watch Prime Video, go to Discover Indie Film by searching for it, and watch season 4, episode 2, and you'll get to see the film Flat, which is a short that opens for The Lost Weekend. And I can promise you it's good. And this episode of the podcast is a four questions episode, which means these two gentlemen are going to take turns answering the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that they recommend people seek out. And guys, hey, I forgot to have you say hi.
Hello.
Hey.
And who wants to go first on naming three favorite films?
I'll go first. You're gonna take something else that I don't want to answer. So the three. All right, boy. I have like a list of the top three, you know, but the list is more than top three. I don't know. I definitely have to say Godfather 1 and 2, but we'll just put them. We'll put them in one. I'd say Locke. It's a film with Tom Hardy, and it's just him in a car for like an hour and a half, and it's probably one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Some of the best acting I've ever seen. And the third one, I have to say The Departed. The Departed is my top three.
And I was going to say, if you wanted to throw in a fourth, you can, but it sounds like you're happy with your three.
I'm happy. We'll say Godfather 2 is my fourth.
No problem. Yeah. And Ryan, you want to do your top faves?
Sure. I realized about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that Adventureland has to be my favorite movie of all time, which I stand by 100%. And I love that movie dearly. And if I'm being honest, another one that is very important to me, despite being made by a terrible person, Annie Hall, like I don't think I would have developed as a person the same way. But also like, Woody Allen, no good. And then also probably a very, very, very basic answer, but like, I think The Shawshank Redemption is kind of perfect. And when people criticize it for being every now and then I hear people talk about it, like, well, it's not that, you know, it doesn't really challenge you. And I'm like, fine, but it's like a hug. I like that movie a whole lot. And I think I'd be full of shit if I said like a more artsy answer. So that's if I'm being honest. The first
I like that. It's like a hug. I never thought of Shawshank being a hug, but now I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, it's just comforting. And also, I gotta give Sam credit with The Departed. I rewatched a bunch of Scorsese movies over the pandemic, and The Departed's incredible. Like people kind of talk smack about it, and it's like I think those other movies might not be as perfect as you remember. Maybe The Departed is the most watchable thing ever made.
Yeah. I love that movie.
For sure. And you both, I love the way you both approach the list because it is favorite films. You don't have to name like the most technically brilliant cinema I've ever seen. You know, you're saying films that you go back and every time you see it, you see something new, you enjoy it more. And it's absolutely favorites. And I love Adventureland, by the way. Nice pull on Adventureland.
Yeah. It's the best. And I won't get into it, but I've been in the orbit of a few people very involved with that movie. And I managed to not tell any of them how I felt about the movie any of the time. But like by just pure coincidence and weird circumstance, I've managed to just play it cool instead of just telling them like, you're in my favorite thing ever.
That's always the double-edged sword. I have a story. I was at Telluride at the film festival. I rode an elevator with my hero, Terry Gilliam, and I just played it cool. And then I think back on it years later. I'm like, What an idiot. How often does Terry Gilliam get recognized? Like,
yeah.
Like, someone telling him, I think you're like one of the best directors who ever lived. I should have done it. But anyway.
In my defense, when I met Kristen Stewart, me and my friend were very drunk because we went to karaoke beforehand. And we didn't realize until like she left who she was. And like we realized the second she got in her car, like who we were talking to for the last half hour. And we even looked up paparazzi pictures because her hair was very different than we remembered. But because of that, like we had like a very weird conversation that I would not have ever had with that actor, because I just thought she was some person and we were talking a lot. Like I was just like arguing with her over movies and it was really fun. And I would have never been that cool and loose if I realized who I was talking to.
So you treated a famous actor who gets hassled by the paparazzi and the tabloids and you treated her like a human being?
Like, kind of, yeah. Well, I argued with her over, whether or not Argo should have won Best Picture or the year. Like, that was like the kind of stuff we were talking about. And it was so weird because like usually I don't really talk to people that much, but I was just kind of having fun. And she like, I was like, wow, this random person knows a lot about very specific film things and can really talk the talk. And then like the second her and her friends got into their car, which wasn't even like a soup, it was like a, I don't even want to say, but it was like a fairly fancy car, but nothing extravagant. The second that happened, me and my friend were just like, wait, was that Kristen Stewart? And everything made sense. Like the whole way they kind of were around us initially too, where it was like, you could tell her friends were being a little guarded with her and it was just, it all made sense very quickly. And it's like, oh, that's why she has really strong opinions on really specific things. But I'm in that context, I'm so glad I didn't realize who she was, because I would have blown it and not talked to her for an extended period.
Yeah, and that makes it better. And props to you, good person. You know, you treated her with respect and respected her opinions. That's cool. All right. Well, so the second question is a film you think is underrated. And go ahead, you can go first, Sam.
I have to say, I don't know. I think I was alive when this movie came out, but it's become one of my favorite movies and I don't think people like it very much, but Meet Joe Black, I think is an underrated movie. I don't know how it was received when it was out or if people, everyone I talked to was like, it's okay. It's like, whatever. I think it's some of, I don't know, man, it's going to sound super corny, but I really like that movie.
Because I'm probably like 25, 30 years older than you. When it came out, the public, or I should say the industry was kind of being, they were being assholes towards Brad Pitt, I think.
I love that movie. Yeah, that's my underrated movie.
For sure.
I don't know how people like it now, but no one, I talked to a few people about it and nobody likes it. And I fucking love it. Sorry.
And I bet we can curse all we want. And I bet people aren't going back and checking it out. In fact, now you make me want to check it out because I remember seeing it when it came out. And is it Claire Forlani plays the female lead? Or?
I think so.
Yeah. And just thinking, see, I think that film, because people are superficial, people are like, oh, two of the most beautiful people in the world are in this film. And they just were rude about it instead of giving it respect.
Yeah, I just think they're so I'm looking it up. I think they're just Claire Forlani. But they're just, everyone's so subtle but not in a boring way, and then you have like a few characters like her dad is like fucking hilarious, you know. And it's not her dad, sorry. Her brother-in-law is like hilarious in that. And there's just so many different elements to that movie. Anthony Hopkins blows it out of the park. And I don't know. I just think it's an underrated movie, and it shouldn't be, but.
For sure. All right, Ryan, it's your turn.
Sure. Mine is this David Gordon Green movie that came out in 2007 called Snow Angels. It's like an ensemble drama with Sam Rockwell, Kate Beckinsale. It has like this great ensemble cast, and it's really, really dark and depressing. I think it's only available on DVD, and it's like a kind of shitty transfer. But I think it's incredible. Every time I watch it, it makes me very sad. And I think it's this beautiful little indie movie that like no one ever talks about pretty much. And like, I think it's incredible. It was I don't know if it's even streaming anywhere right now. I would love a Blu-ray release of it, because like when I watched the DVD like sometime last year, like I realized like, wow, this does not like, it was just not a great transfer. But I think it's a fantastic movie that probably came out, because it came out in 2007, which like I think was probably one of the best, if not the best movie year for like as long as I've been alive. Like, because I was like, when There'll Be Blood, No Country for Old Men, and like a ton of these like huge classics came out. So I could see how like a relatively small, like independent drama with like, and at the time, like I guess Sam Rockwell wasn't as big of a name or anything, but it, I think it's a really, really great, dark, depressing movie. Kind of similar to like The Ice Storm, which I think is awesome, but like I don't think that movie is in any way underrated. People who have seen it usually speak pretty positively, but yes, Snow Angels.
Sounds good. That's, I hadn't seen it, so now you've given me one to seek out. Yeah. All right, now the next question, because you both seem like nice people, I'm going to be prejudiced and assume you're not the types to like to call things overrated. So I just want to add that overrated doesn't mean bad. You could love the overrated film. You're just saying, you know what, I love this film, or I don't love it, up to you. But it gets a level of praise from people, and every time I hear it, I'm like, nah, you might be wrong.
Ryan, you got to take this one. I need a minute.
I can take, so this one, I want to say it's a movie that I like and think is very good. So a few years back, right around when they were rebooting Ghostbusters with the all-female reboot, I was invited to do this Ghostbusters remake project, where basically a bunch of different filmmakers were able to take a scene from Ghostbusters and do whatever they wanted with it. So I did a scene from Ghostbusters that had, it was like the scene with the in the mayor's office, and it had like 8 or 9 speaking roles, and I had one actor play every single role or whatever. So in the process of that, I actually saw the original Ghostbusters in theater, in like a movie theater leading up to it, and then of course I saw the reboot. And my very hot take is that Ghostbusters is good. I don't think it belongs in the conversation with, say, Back to the Future or Jaws or any other movies sort of from that era that people hold in high regard. It's way better than it should be, and it's, sure, it's a classic. I don't know if I stand by this, but I would say the reboot is almost as good. Like, I don't think, but I also like, yeah, I don't think I'm happy for Ghostbusters and whatever, and I'll gladly see the new one when it comes out. But my overrated would probably be Ghostbusters, a movie I'm a fan of that I watched as a kid a lot and always loved. But rewatching it, you know, when I was invited to do that remake project, I was like, oh, this is not, I don't think it's this great, great movie that it's often brought up in the conversation with.
I'm with you on that. I can say I love it too. I saw it in theaters when I was like in middle school, but it's one when you go back and show, when you have a kid and like they hit like 13, 14, you're like, okay, I'm going to show you the best comedies of all time. And you throw on Ghostbusters and you're watching, you're like, oh man, parts of this are not, it's not winning her over the way I was sure. She just think it was hilarious. Whereas, let's just say Ace Ventura doesn't age. All right, Sam, you ready for your overrated?
This is what I was dreading.
And you can pass. You can say, you know what? All films are good. It's an art form. You don't have, you can pass if you want.
Yeah, I really, like, when I got this list, I was like, this is the one question I can't answer. I just don't have one. I really don't. I find the good in everything. It's my curse.
And I respect it.
I won't put Sam on the spot or have him say it. I will say, I think this might have been the last time I saw you in person. It might have actually been after the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. You were critical of an actor's performance in a movie that was pretty well praised. Do you know what I'm talking about at all?
I don't.
I don't know. Do you want me to say or no? Because like I don't want
to. Give me a hint. Let me guide me to my answer.
So think about around that time. It's a long movie. It came out like 2 years ago.
A long movie in 2019.
With one of the greatest actors of all time, like objectively, it was his performance you had some notes on that I thought was like, when I watched it again, I was like, I think Sam was kind of right.
Well, I'll say
it's never. Irishman. Are we talking about The Irishman?
Yes. You had enough. I didn't mean to
I
blow
did.
You up, but
I did.
You did
I know
have
exactly what
something
you're
to
talking about.
say.
I did. I did. Oh boy.
But I'll jump in. Like, you don't have to name the actor or anything, but like the yeah. Irishman, I mean, Scorsese, and I know there's a lot of love for Scorsese in this yeah. virtual room.
Yeah.
Well, there's
Scorsese
a lot
misses
of
a lot.
Yeah.
I really like that movie. I didn't care that it was 3.5 hours long, however long it was. I saw it in theaters in LA. Now I remember now. Yeah. I was in LA when I saw it. There were just some moments with a particular actor that I was just like, are you trying? Are you just kind of walking through this? And yeah, I'm not going to name who it was because I honestly respect him too much. But yeah, the Irishman I had some problems with, but overall, someone in particularly someone in the Irishman, I had some issues with their performance, but as a movie, it was great for me. But yeah, thank yeah. you for.
Well, there's so many like remember. Huge actors in that are legitimately some of the best that ever lived. Like, you don't know which one.
Right.
Yeah, we don't. You know, they don't need to know that you're talking about a Steve Van Sant cameo in there as
right.
Frankie
yeah.
Valli.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, the last one we'll shift back to something that won't feel pressured. Which is a lesser known film that people should seek out. Although you have both named films that kind of fit that bill, but go ahead, go for your, something that people should seek out that most people miss.
I have one, Ryan, if you want me to take it.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. There's this film, I think it came out in 2013. It's a Greek film. It's called Little England. And it's a really, really beautifully shot and beautifully performed film. It's actually filmed on the island, and the story is based on the island my dad is from, called Andros. And it's a tragic story, and it's a love story, and it's about love lost and love found and betrayal and family. And it's a really beautiful film. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think you can watch it for free if you have Prime Video, but it's called Little England, and that is my film that you should watch.
Excellent, and I might add that in your top three, Locke, the Tom Hardy film,
love Locke.
That counts too because I don't know it. So
I was going.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I was going.
Thank
back
you for
and
the
forth.
Rec.
That yeah no, it's really great. I believe it was also written by him, but it was directed by Stephen Knight. Who's the same guy? He's worked with Tom Hardy a lot. He does Peaky Blinders as well. Yeah.
Oh, does he? I love that show. Yeah. Tom Hardy, honestly, like Tom Hardy should be way bigger than he is. Even though he's really beloved in the film community, yeah. I think if you name his name to like someone at the supermarket, they might miss
yeah.
it.
You're like, who? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah,
and how do you say, you know, he plays the Jew on Peaky Blinders.
Right. And they're like, oh, yeah, he was Bane, you know. Yeah, it's straight up just like it's an hour and 20 minutes, I think, of him in a car driving. He's obviously taking a very long trip. And you just see this guy's life unravel. And it's some of the best acting I've ever seen, honestly. And it's just him and like a bunch of phone calls, you know, in the car. It's great. Great movie.
Fantastic. All right, Ryan, you get to close us up with your lesser known people should seek out.
Sure. So mine is not a feature film, but this is what I stand by whenever I can talk about it, I do. There's a short film that played before my feature back in 2014 that we were packaged with. And it's only like 4 minutes long, and I thought it was the best thing I've ever seen. It totally ruined showing my film right after, where everyone's like, shit, this is like an hour and 40 something minutes. Whereas it's a short film. It's half animated, half live action. It's called The Video Dating Tape of Desmondo Rey, Age 33 and 3/4. And it is a crazy little short made by this Australian guy, Steve Baker, which eventually got turned into a web series, which is also really good. The web series is called This is Desmondo Rey. I think you could watch the series and the short online for free. And actually, this short film is how I met Megan Carnes, who is the composer on The Lost Weekend, because I thought she did an incredible job on the score. And also, like, so her and the director I reached out to, which, by the way, if you want to know a good way to, like, get to know people, if you actually respond to someone's work and you just send them a nice thing, you might become friends with them. And in this case, the director I've become friendly with, but then Megan, who scored The Lost Weekend, she does, like, a lot of work on video games. She's super talented. But, yeah, the video dating tape, Desmondo Rey, age 33 and three quarters. If you just look up Desmondo Rey, you'll find it. And it's really incredible and shows what you can, the power of film. Cause yeah, that movie does so much in 4 minutes. It's moving. It's weird. It's funny. I just love it.
Excellent. Thank you. You know what? I love that you're remembering something you saw at a festival way back when. I've got a couple of those too, films, super small indies that I saw at a festival or at a screening, and I was like, okay, that one's going to be huge, and then it doesn't happen. You know, it's you never know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before I name all the websites and social media handles and where people can see The Lost Weekend on Prime Video, you guys want to throw out your social media and whatnot and websites?
Sure. For me, it's all at San Bartholomew's. Yeah, that's it.
And you can get me on most social media platforms as The Bloody Mess. The Lost Weekend has a Facebook page, The Lost Weekend Movie. And then I got a website that if I keep promoting it, maybe I'll update it, RyanO'LearyFilms.com. But, yeah.
Yeah, I guess as a fan of your film, I should like do an Instagram post like twice a month saying, hey, check out this website, and then you'll feel all this pressure to update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone bombard Ryan's website now. Go.
All right. Well, now I'm about to go on the closing rant to get all the info out for everyone. But the first thing I should ask is, if you're listening to this, give this podcast 5 stars. Be a kind human and be nice to people. Give them 5 stars. And if you go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and there you'll see the TV series. We've got 4 seasons. They're all the best films handpicked from the festival circuit. So just search for Discover Indie Film when you're on Amazon Prime Video, and you'll see just great shorts. And if you want to go directly to The Lost Weekend that the two gentlemen you just listened to collaborated on, that's in season 4, episode 2. And if you want to learn more about all these podcasts and all the background on the TV episodes, go to discoveryindiefilm.com and you can follow it on social media and at DIF Wins. And of course, The Lost Weekend showed up in that and on this podcast and in the TV series because it played at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019. That festival's every November. If you want to learn about it, go to shermanoaksff.com. And on social media, it's at Sherman Oaks FF. And every June, the same team that does the Sherman Oaks Film Festival does a festival in June called Film Invasion Los Angeles. And that's filminvasionla.com and at filminvasionla. And oddly enough, we had other towns asking for a film invasion. And then COVID hit and we're like, maybe wait. So stay tuned on that. And that's all I got to say. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for all the support and having us.
And thank you to anyone who's still listening after all that, all those websites and social media handles.